Happy Sabbath, church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time, God is good. I am happy to be here with you all this morning. I see some smiling faces. And I am also seeing different expressions. It just goes to show that we are all different people from different backgrounds, coming from different homes, has different problems, going through different tribulation this week. But we have one thing in common. That's Jesus. And he has brought us here this morning to praise him, to worship him, and we are just here to give thanks. And with that being said, I just want to thank you all for coming out, and bear with me for a few minutes as I allow God to use me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for yet another morning, another Sabbath to worship you. Let your will be done. And let somebody, at least one person, be drawn closer to you, sitting in this church and watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, saints of God, I'm here to speak for you a few minutes on the topic, divine appointment. The scripture reading came to us ably from my brother Lehman, a young man I so admire. We have some things in common. The reading is taken from a longer passage from Acts chapter 3. It started off with Peter and John. In verse 1, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, the Bible says, was being carried, whom they would lay daily at the gate. And he would ask of alms, as people would pass him by going into the temple. Now, verse 3 says, seeing John and Peter going into the temple, he asked to receive alms from them. And Peter directed his gaze at him as John did, and said to him, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something, the Bible says, from them. But verse 6 says, Peter said, 'I have no silver and I have no gold, but what I have, I give you.' And the Bible says, he commanded, 'In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' Verse 7, it says, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankle were made strong. Verse 8 says, and leaping up, he stood and he began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." That's the word in itself. However, my friends, there is a saying. It says, if you do not make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. The second chapter of the book of Acts, the second chapter, it ended with a rather cozy church. A church where the saints will gather together to fellowship, to break bread, to have communion, and to pray together. That's the picture that the author of Acts painted in chapter 2. And as we go further, we will see it tell us that those who believe were of one mind and one heart and had one thing in common, which was Jesus Christ. The history of the church, however, as we read on, we would see it has many examples of short-lived Christian communities that define the church as rather a closed, cozy club of the elect people of God. After all, today we find the church as the same thing: cozy, warm, loving, a place where we can come and rest from the cares and the stresses of the world. So then the question one could ask If we can find all of this in the church, why bother to venture out into the world? So that's a picture of Acts chapter 2. And perhaps because such friendly inversion in the church, my friends, this is why Luke, the author of Acts, immediately follow this account from Acts chapter 2 with the life of the believers in Jerusalem, with the account of the infant's church confrontation with the world. The infant's church confrontation with the world. Friends, yesterday's church find itself singing old hymns, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Nevertheless, that same church has to face the world and its cares and its stresses. We cannot take ourselves away from that reality. Luke goes to great effort, my friends, to show the church gathering to break bread, to teach and to pray joyfully. It was in no way a detour around the misery of what the enemy has out there for us. So, therefore, no sooner has he showed us what the church is like after Christ's ascension and the disciples coming together, receiving the Holy Spirit, and great things started to happen. No sooner than that, than Luke, my friends, painted the picture of Peter and John going into the temple, good devoted Jews as they were, praying, going up to pray, they were faced with a dilemma. They were faced with a lame man seated by the temple. The Bible tells us it was about 3 p.m. that they were going into the temple to offer prayer. The passage tells us that this lame man, they didn't give a name to him. They didn't give much about him, but what is known that he was lame from birth. The Bible says, then why this specific time of day was he carried there? It was because the Jews at that time would go to prayer. They would pray in the morning, in the midday, in the afternoon, and in the evening. So he knew at that time that a crowd will be passing, going in. So he took the opportunity to get as much as he could from the people. But the Bible says, my friends, we should take note of the beggar. There are some factors about him that we cannot miss if we take time to look at him. This man was lame, the Bible says. He was a beggar, the Bible says. So we can imagine he was lame, a beggar. He was immobile. No doubt he was unable to work for himself. No doubt, my friends, he was unable to move around freely for himself. We can imagine his life was certainly one of unpleasantness. We can see that his life had no satisfaction about it. Look carefully at this blind beggar, at this lame beggar with me. When you look at his life, there are some things that I imagine that would surround him, some characteristic. We would see something like stagnation. Oh my, I don't know if you have ever feel stagnant before, but this man's life was surrounded by stagnation. Stagnation would be associated to him, for he seemed to be going nowhere in life. Every day, people would be moving, going up the ladder, but he will remain one place. We can see as we look a little bit closer, we would see something else around him, inadequacy. Now, I don't know if you have been told that you are inadequate. That's a bad thing to be said about somebody. So his life was of stagnation, inadequacy, incompetence, unproductivity, full of defects, full of shortcomings. That's the life of this lame beggar. No one would dare to hire him, for he was unable and disabled to make work and to make productivity. Therefore, my friends,
This man, all he knew was to see himself as a nobody of society. That was entrenched in him growing up, crippled amongst his friends growing up. The ones that were born in his age group, they have all grown, all achieved, gotten married, have their cars, have a good job, have their families, own their homes. But all his life, he hasn't moved on. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. For if it has not been for Jesus, we could have found ourselves in the same situation. For we ourselves are wretched. Lame we are. Stagnant we could have been. Unproductive we could have been if it has not been for Jesus. My friends, one could conclude that his life was one of hopelessness and impossibilities. My friends, I want us to understand as we look at this man's life. I don't want us to seem as extra and more than anybody else. Because one factor about him that we all can relate to is that sin is the main problem and the main cause of why he was in that situation. You see, my friends, if we take a time out to examine our lives and examine sin, this is the reality of sin, and this is what sin does. Sin, my friends, is sin does the same to all of us today. It puts us in many unfortunate and many compromising situations. A situation that robs us of our dignities. Sin puts us in situation, my friends, that takes away our integrity. Sin takes away even our identity and leave us feeling like a nobody at times. Am I talking to somebody? Sin, my friend, robs us of our pride and our future. Sin takes away our dreams and even our ability to hope and to see a better tomorrow. That's the world of sin. It's very much messed up. But as we look at this man's life, there are three main points I want to bring across this morning. The first one, God is not done with me yet. Now tell somebody that God is not done with me yet. You see, my friends, this man's life, all his life, he was stagnant and very unproductive. But God was not through with him yet. May I suggest that he had something deep within that nobody could see? Sometimes we are going through. And sometimes people look at us as hopeless. But he had something that the world could not see inside. Something that kept him living throughout those years. He had hope to live and a will to go on. There's a story of a 15-year-old young man in Africa. A 15-year-old boy, a teenager. Now his mother and his father were killed. And he had some younger siblings. He was the eldest of his siblings, but he was crippled from the waist down. And he would find himself, he was crippled from the waist down because of some accident. But he didn't allow life to keep him unproductive. He found himself being able to use his arms. He would pull himself daily to a particular place in the city to beg. And someone, a reporter, ask him one day, why do you come every day to beg? What drives you to do this? He responded, he said, I have younger siblings and they are unable to work. But I am able to move around. So I find myself coming out here to beg to get some money so that I can help them to go to school. So they can get an education that I'm robbed of right now. So they can become somebody productive in life. So they can help me also in return. This man, my friends, he had a hope to live and a will to go on.
For within the heart of this crippled beggar, I believe one would find determination for advancement and determination for progress. For amidst the shame and the stigma that was associated with this crippled man, sometimes we are in situations so long in life that it becomes normal for us. It becomes acceptable for us to accept abnormalities as normal. Sometimes we find ourselves, no, this one, the Bible says, he was about 40 years of age and he was born lame. So I can imagine that has become normal for him. Sometimes we ourselves find ourselves struggling with certain sins, find ourselves trapped in certain situations. Find ourselves, my friend, having a hard time to make that change in our life. And so things become normal that is abnormal for us. We begin to accept that which is unacceptable. We begin to become complacent in our sin, in our mess, in our situation. The devil robs us of the ability to hope and to break free. So we accept abnormalities. One writer says about Jesus, about this writer, that he knew somebody called Jesus. Though that was his situation, one author says he knew somebody called Jesus. A crippled man for 40 years of age, whose life from his birth has been one of pain and infirmities. He longed to be healed by the hands of Jesus, for he had heard, one writer said, he had heard of a man who had been going around healing people, giving sight, making the lame to walk, raising the dead. And so this man was living in the time of Jesus. And he had that hope that Christ would pass by his way one day. But before that could have taken place, Jesus was crucified. And he heard that Jesus was crucified. And so the hope that he had was also robbed from him. Now he didn't know about anyone else to come and heal him. Imagine his situation. But you see, my friends, sometimes when all hope is lost, when we don't see a way out, when all situation seems endless and hopeless and dark, as I said, God has a divine appointment for you. You see, my friends, this crippled man, the hope that Christ would come has gone, but he was still holding on. He was still holding on. Today, some of us hope has gone, but I can suggest to us to hold on strongly to your faith. Stand on the promises of Christ, for better days are coming. The crippled man, he did not know that though the Savior was not physically with him, he had a divine appointment scheduled with the Savior. Though he was unable, my friends, to drive and to walk, he had no money. He was unable to see Jesus for himself. But Christ had a divine appointment scheduled for him. And the second point in this story is the servant healer. Though we are focused on the crippled man's life, I want us to also see something beyond this crippled man. The first point, my friends, is God is not done with me yet. So God is not done with you yet. The second point is the servant healer. Now, the Bible says that while he was there begging, he saw Peter and he saw John passing by. And thus, the Bible says he turned his attention to them. And they in turn turned their attention to him. The Bible says, my friends, because of this, he had the opportunity now to ask for a blessing.
But he didn't know that those two men, those two servants of God, was his blessings in disguise. Sometimes our blessings are in disguise by the people around us on a daily basis. That's why it's always good to deal with people kind-heartedly. It's always good, my friends, to see people and treat them, as the Bible says, as angels. Now, these two men, there were a lot of people passing by that day, and every day is the same thing for him, but he did not know that God had sent those two men on that particular day to give him something that he has never received before. Allow me to encourage and to remind somebody today that when man fails, God never fails. For I believe there are many Christians today that are going through severe testing in their life. But God, my friends, can take your situation and he can turn it around. He can make your circumstances become a blessing to somebody else. No. Let us look at what happened here. The Bible says Peter and John was going up, but the man stopped them. And when he stopped them, the Bible says Peter turned to him. Now, when Peter turned to him, Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." But when we look at the life of Peter, don't having silver, don't having gold. When we look at the life of Peter, Peter is a living example of what God can do for all of us. God can make your situation become a blessing for others. God can take your life wherever it is at this moment. Whatever crucible, whatever challenges you might be going through. God can take your situation right there and make it become a blessing to somebody else. Peter, my friends, if we look at the life of Peter in this story, now we might be so focused on the life of the beggar that we overlook the servant Eli, which was Peter and John. But Peter, we see that before he could have become the servant healer, on that day, he had to have an experience with Jesus. Now, when we look at Peter's life with Jesus, the Bible tells us that Peter was just a normal fisherman. He was just a normal fisherman. And because he was just a normal fisherman, he did not get recognized by any universities. He didn't get any honorable doctorate in fishermanship. Nothing was there to honor about this man's simple life as a fisherman. The Bible tells us that before Peter's conversion, he was boisterous and loudmouthed. One could see him as someone who would interrupt service. One could see Peter who was quick to speak and slow to listen. He was very aggressive and rough. He was flawed. He had faults. Peter, my friends, could call Christ Lord, and within the same breath, he would deny Jesus Christ. Peter was an hypocrite, for Peter dealt with the Gentiles at one point with love, but when his friends were around, he behaved as though he was no friend to them. Peter, my friends, seemed like somebody who no one today would want to associate themselves with, because Peter was a failure in every way one could think of. But when we look at the same Peter and his life when he had an experience with Jesus, Peter was the same one who said to Jesus, "I have your back. I will die for you." Peter told Jesus that, "I will go to prison on your behalf." And in the same night, my friend, Peter looked at Jesus and said, "I've never seen the man before." Now, I wouldn't want a friend like Peter. Peter is a backstabber. Peter is someone we cannot depend on. Peter is a failure. But when we look at the life of Peter, when he had his experience with Jesus, when he was converted, The Bible tells us that Peter, in fact, became the leading disciple. Peter became the leader of the 12 listed in the Bible all the time. The gospel constantly portrayed Peter as one that all would look to for leadership. Peter, my friends, he would ask good questions that causes one to think about their salvation. He would give unsolicited advices, leaps from the boat, and walked on water. Peter, my friends, expressed his conviction to Jesus so much so that he firmly became so loyal that he became a martyr. Peter, my friends, he drew a sword to defend Jesus. And yet the Bible tells us that Peter, in Acts, he is again the unquestionable leader. He preaches the first evangelistic series for the church of God that led over 3,000 people to become Christians. So now, what is your excuse? Is your situation or circumstances too much for God to handle? This servant healer, Peter, the Bible says, he became converted and allowed himself to be worked on by God. He allowed himself to become a servant healer. And so on this particular day, when he was passing the blind beggar, the Bible says, the blind beggar stopped him and he looked at him. And Peter stopped and looked right back at him. And he looked at him, my friends. Jesus took this rugged and successful fisherman who became a leading disciple. The Bible says that Peter, as I come down to my third and final point, Peter did something in his command. So the third point is, my friend, the servant's command. The first point, God is not done with you yet. The second point, the servant healer. And the third point, the servant's command. The Bible says that Peter and John looked straight at the lame beggar and commanded his attention to look back at them. Now the man responded with all full attention. Now listen now. With all full attention, thinking, this might be the day that I would receive some big offering. This might be the day that some faithful worshiper will give me something tremendous. But Peter's unexpected admission must have caught the lame man by surprise. Not to have silver, not to have gold was a big disappointment to this lame beggar. But before he could turn away his attention from Peter and John, Peter quickly, saints of God, assured the man that he possessed something far more valuable than silver. Far more valuable than gold. Peter, my friend, assured the man that it is not the education that is so much important. It is not the success of your business that really matters. It is not the fact that you can drive a 2015 Mercedes and you can show off to your friends that you are doing well in life. That's not what really matters today. It is not the fact that you can stand in church and your record can say you are a faithful tithe giver. And you can sing like angels. And you can preach like Paul. That's not what really matters. What Peter was saying to that lame beggar that day, that today you are a lame man. Today you are a beggar. But what I have to give to you will make you become a giver tomorrow. What Peter was saying to that man in that one look, he was saying that today, my friend, You might be looked upon as a major disappointment of your family, of your friends, of your school, of your church, even of society. But what I have to give you today, tomorrow, you will become an asset to everybody. My friends, what Peter was saying to that one man, that beggar in that one look, that today everybody might see you as a failure, as a nobody, and your faults will be painted across so big that it cannot be missed. But what I have to give to you today will make you become a somebody of society tomorrow. My friends, Peter was saying, though you are a cast down, tomorrow you will be a conqueror. For in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Peter was saying, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That one command from the servant, Eli, that one command was more than just the physical rising up. But my friends, what Peter gave the man that day, what he brought to the beggar was empowerment. What Peter brought to that beggar on that day, he became emancipated from sin, sick, slavery. What Peter brought to that man that day, it loosed him free from the chain of bondages, of sexual immorality, of lying, of stealing, of cheating, of being a failure. What Peter brought to that man that day and that one command, my friend, he gave him confidence to stand boldly and proclaim in the name of Jesus, I am somebody. No longer will people see me as a failure. No longer will I remain in my unfaithfulness. No longer will I become a thief, or no longer will I refuse to do the good that God wants me to do. No longer will the devil have his way with me. For today I am redeemed. Today my salvation has come. Today is my divine appointment. No longer will the enemy have his saying and rejoice over me. After 40 years, my friends, after 40 years of being crippled, after 40 years of being a nobody of society, after 40 years of being held down, after 40 years of being conquered by the enemy, that man on that day experienced the wonderful power of grace, virtue, love, truth, mercy. He experienced that wonderful power of what it feels like to be made free by Jesus. The Bible tells us that he didn't remain right there. The Bible tells us that he got up out of his mess. The Bible tells us that he joined with Peter and John. The Bible tells us that, my friends, he walked into the temple and he did not remain silent. The Bible said, if you read further in verse 8, that he started to jump. He started to shout. He started to proclaim. He started to rejoice. He started to run from door to door, from house to house, from neighborhood to neighborhood, from friends to friend, from family members to family members, from church member to church member, from even those who saw him as a nobody. He began to tell him that here I am, a living testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, if it was left up to the devil, as I come to a close, if it was left up to the devil and justice, the accuser, we all would be looked upon and the devil would proclaim that here what, this person is a sinner. For the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The devil would claim us as his own. But I thank God for Jesus, that grace stepped in. And grace said, for God so loved the world that one sinner, Jesus died for him. But the enemy, the accuser, and even justice would not stop there. It would say, it doesn't matter. No place for a sinner can be found here in God's kingdom, for you all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God for grace. Grace didn't back down. Grace still stepped forward and says, my grace is sufficient for them. But my friends, the enemy is so strong, he don't want to let go. And so he still continues to accuse and to pursue our soul. For the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation. Eternal condemnation and eternal crippling. But grace stepped in and says, for there is a fountain, my God, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein. That sinner, my friend, it doesn't matter who you are or where you are or what you have done or what you are going through or what people continue to remind you of your faults, your shortcomings, your stagnation. It doesn't matter where in life you have been. It doesn't matter what unconfessed sin that you have holding up today. Grace is saying to you that God so loved the world. Gave him life for you. As I close, my friends, I've been there. I've been at a place where a lot of people looked at me as nothing. And this is just my story. I always say it. But today I am glad to say like this lame beggar who had his divine appointment, I had mine. And Christ came my way. And he took me from a place of stagnation, a place of unproductivity. And today, I'm a living progress for Jesus. And so I give somebody the opportunity, if you are online listening or watching, if you are seated here today, and you know that you are stuck in some situation and you want a breakthrough. I'm not promising you anything major. But I'm just telling you that if you try Jesus, if you allow your appointment to take place today, far greater thing can happen to you than what happened to this soul. So therefore, my friend, I give somebody the opportunity who have not given your life to Christ. If you desire to do so right now, if you want us to pray with you, if you want to say, God, too long the enemy have had me down, too long I've been unproductive, too long I've been battling and trying and going through with this one sin, too long I'm unable to break free, but I believe that in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I can be made whole. Just come forward as we pray together. That's all. That's all. I won't stay for long. Time is going. And if you are online or you're watching, because I know that people have come to Jesus just because of the fact that they are viewing online. I just want to tell you, my friends, that Christ is here with you. As we join to pray together, I invite us to stand. If you have already been a Christian, but you are still going through, and you are being reminded by the enemy constantly that you are unworthy. The enemy constantly is reminding you that you are nobody and you are failing. You tried and you tried, but you are still failing. And you want to say today, that I'm still going to take my appointment with Jesus and continue going on. Just stand as we pray together. Just stand as we pray together. Great God, we all thank you for your words. And we all thank you that even in our mess, in our stagnation, even the fact that we are unable to see you face to face at this moment, The fact that we are being reminded that we are failures. We are stagnant. We are all sinners who have come short and continue to come short of your glory. That we are being reminded on a daily basis that without you we are nothing. And even that our achievement on this earth means nothing without you. We want to thank you that you still allowed your son to come and die for us. We want to thank you that we weren't made to remain in our mess for the rest of our lives. For this man, over 40 years of living, he had probably reached the point where he said, there is no hope for me. There is no way I will be changed. There is no way any difference will happen in my life. And some of us today might be feeling or saying the same thing about some of our circumstances. But today we believe that you have sent somebody with our appointment to make that difference, to make that change. And so, God, we cling to you by faith and we say, remove all the baggages, remove all the sins, the chains of bondages that would have held us down and set us free. Give us the ability to walk in Jesus, to proclaim your salvation, and to tell somebody of what you have done for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for hearing this prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.